Hello, this is Gavin McCoy, and on the Internet Marketing Podcast today, my guest is Neil Stafford, who swapped his corporate career for an online business. Today, you'll discover what exactly was the unusual product he sold to get started, and how he felt when he got his very first sale, and the secret of generating an endless recurring income from simple membership sites, plus much, much more, as we say hello to Neil Stafford.
Hi, Gavin. Good to speak to you again.
When did you kick off in internet marketing?
Oh, my word. I always say back when the internet was gas-powered. So very short story. When the internet started taking off, if you remember the mid-1990s, web designers were getting paid a fortune to build simple 3-, 4-, 5-page websites. So I said, oh, I can do that. I'm sure I can. So I walked into a local computer shop in Wigan, where I live in the northwest of England, and it's still there to this day. One of these in like an old converted terrace house with computer parts everywhere. And I said, I want to build websites. He said, you need Dreamweaver. I said, I love it. He goes, it's £300, which is about $500. I went, oh, that's a lot. But I managed to take a deep breath and bought it. And then I wandered over to the local bookstore, and I bought The Idiot's Guide to HTML, which is like the forerunners to the Dummies book, and proceeded to try and teach myself how to build websites. Well, long story short, I did, and my word, they were ugly. They were really, really ugly. But I saw I saw some sort of potential in it. Fast forward a couple of years, and my first sale online was back in May 1998, and that was for, believe it or not, an oil painting. Now, I wasn't the artist. My design skills and artistic skills are like a three-year-old with a crayon, but a friend of mine was an artist. And it developed out of an idea that we had where I used to go with him to craft furs and, his exhibitions to keep him company. And one time a lady came up to me and said, does he do paintings from photographs? And I went, yes. I had no idea whether he did or not. I went, yes. Took a deposit and said to my friend Paul, I said, Paul, can you do this? He said, yes. So he did a painting from photographs. She was happy. So we started commissioning more paintings from photographs. Then we placed adverts in magazines where people would ring up for an information pack. Now, this is pre-digital photography. So we had to take photographs of his paintings, scan them and put them onto, printed material and send them out. And they'd send it back with an order form and a check. And that's how that went on. And I went, oh, I've got an idea. Why don't we, instead of getting them to ring up for an information pack, this newfangled internet thing, we can send them online because I know how to build websites, ugly websites. They can read it and then they can sort it out online. Now, I always call myself and Paul back then Dumb and Dumber because we had no way of taking payments. There was no PayPal. There was certainly no Stripe or any way of taking payments online except with a bank merchant account, and they wanted blood, your firstborn, and profits for life. So what we did was we simply put the brochure up online, ugly website. And to put it into context, we placed the advert in a magazine and we used GeoCities for our hosting because they gave free web space. But that meant our website address was geocities.com/squigglyline3754, a really horrible domain name. But we did it. We placed the advert, waited for the magazine to come out. And to put it into context, an order came through, but what the person had to do was buy the magazine, take it home and read it, read the classifieds in the back, see our advert, go to the computer, turn it on. Now, this is 1998, remember, mm-hmm. So they weren't fast to turn on. Connect to the internet with dial-up, load this ugly-looking website, read through it, print off an order form, ready? Write the order form, write the check, write the envelope, put the stamp on an envelope and walk down to a post box and post it to us. But lo and behold, that's what happened. And I would love, Gavin, to be able to say it was on this date in May. I just can't remember the date. But I know it was May 1998 that this envelope popped through the letterbox with a check inside for, back then, £95, about $140 at the time, $150. And it was our first order generated online, although it was an offline payment, if that makes sense.
Now, despite those disjointed steps that led to your first sale, Neil, how did you feel looking at that check?
Wow, basically. I always talk about tipping points with people. So that was our tipping point, first sale generated online. And the tipping point is, this could work. know, this, there is something in this, and it drives belief. And whether you're going for your first sale online, you know, your first $1,000 month, your first $10,000 or pound month, each one of those is a tipping point that takes you past that point of flipping heck, this works. Where could it go?
Now, for many of us, our foray into internet marketing is, in fact, a plan to escape from a day job, which takes too much time and probably doesn't pay too much. If I'm able to ask you, Neil, what did you do prior to breaking into this business of internet marketing or information marketing?
Yeah, so past careers have been working for an insurance company in customer service, working in shops. Been a DJ, mobile and club DJ for a good few years. And when I started looking at the internet side, I'd actually settled down into a bit of a career in the financial services industry. And I always say I can't give a rags to riches story because I had a pretty good career. I was climbing the career ladder. But one thing I did was look ahead, and I didn't like what I saw where I was going to be in 5 or 10 years. And again, these little things that happen to you. Many years ago, when I was 15, 16 years old, a family member who was very successful said, have a plan B, Neil. Always have a plan B. Now, my DJing was plan B for a while, because I worked and DJed before I went DJing full time. And then when I started in financial services, I was still doing DJing, but because of the way the career took off, I stopped the DJing. But this internet thing came along, so that started to be my plan B. So my career was well paid. It had great bonuses, company car, et cetera, et cetera. So from the outside looking in, you say, oh, they're successful. But what they didn't see was the company owned you, basically. And the higher you climbed up the ladder, the more and more successful you had, the more and more income you had, but less and less time you had. I've had phone calls at 1 o'clock in the morning to put a paper together to be released to the stock market because something has been said, by my boss's boss ringing me up. And that was another tipping point, thinking, hang on a minute, this isn't right if they can do that and get me to, ask me to do it, which I did. It got released at 1 o'clock in the morning, job done. So with me, it was more of a, okay then, let's get this plan B rolling again and see where it can get to.
Now, Neil, your first excursion into using the internet as a marketing vehicle was for solid, tangible products. Of course, today, the biggest part of our industry is selling information products. What was your first attempt at that?
Yeah, so after the sale with the painting, the oil painting, we did more of that with Paul. And looking back, maybe he said, okay, what we should have done is really gone to town and owned that market. But I think I did what everybody does and disappeared down the internet marketing rabbit hole of trying to find a way of doing things different, better, shortcuts. And you start investing in different courses and products. Now, back then, there were some people selling training products, which we invested in. And that led me to digital products. So my first digital product sale was round about the end of that year. It was round about December 98, January 99. And this will make you laugh, Gavin. It was for a report. But the report, again, was sold with a printable order form. So they had to print off the order form and send a check in. This is for a digital product, remember? So the check came. When the check came, I sent them the report that they bought. And I sent it as a Word document, as an attachment to an email. No PDF, no click here to download. It was sent on email as a Word document. So that was my first digital product sale. From then, we looked deeper. I managed to get, in this country, what's called a WorldPay account, which is an online merchant account. So that was my first online merchant account. So we started selling online. People were able to download the products and pay online. And my first membership site, which one of my favorite information products, was launched in 2003.
In internet marketing or information marketing nowadays, you can either sell a one-off product with a big launch, or you can do what you did, think about what we term recurring income. And I want you to tell me something about this this membership site business. Now, presumably, in order to succeed in that, you have to find a group of people with a common interest who are willing to pay for information.
Correct. Yeah. And the opportunity today for a membership site or a continuity program where people will pay you on a regular basis, regularly, typically being monthly, but it can be quarterly, half yearly, can be annually, but typically, for this example, let's say monthly. And two questions I say with a membership site is two big questions to ask yourself is, why will they join? And once they've joined, what's the overriding reason they will stay paying you month after month? And those are two easy questions to ask, but they need a bit of thinking to keep people, you know, engaged and involved. But as far as groups of people, having done this for a while now and worked with a lot of people on their membership and continuity programs, there is a niche and a market for everything from the mass market to the weird and the extreme and the funny niches.
Now, I spoke to somebody a couple of years ago in terms of weird niches, and they were selling information, subscriptions on, I think they call these things pocket pigs.
Love it.
It was astonishing.
Yeah, love it.
Because, you know, you think, well, who would possibly buy this? But the people who are fans of those little tiny pets are avid readers of anything published on that kind of information.
Correct. Our first membership site was aimed at people who coach and run junior football teams, junior soccer teams. So it wasn't aimed at professional coaches. It was aimed at the unsung heroes, the parents who get roped into and volunteered and dragged into coaching their kids' soccer team. So I teamed up with a friend of mine who was a soccer coach at the time. Very new soccer coach. He'd only been coaching his team for about 6 or 9 months. But we entered that market from the position of, listen, we're just like you. This is what we do. This is the team that we coach. This is how long we've been coaching. What we're going to do is we're going to discuss and report back everything that we do. We're going to tell you what worked, what didn't, what training we did, what things we found out, how we deal with parents. Come along for the ride. So our first product in that market, this will make you laugh, Gavin, was a cassette tape, was an interview on a cassette tape, three C60 cassettes that we sold, which then led to the membership site in 2003. And all we did was report back what was happening with our team, well, my friend's team. I used to play pretty good as a kid, semi-pro, as a goalkeeper, so mm-hmm. I talk about goalkeeping, but he was the one who did the coaching badges. I didn't have any coaching badges, so it was a great marry-up of, I knew online marketing, I'm a big interest in soccer fan. You know, he is a soccer coach. We got on well together. It was a good coming together. And we developed that business. 2003 we started. Like I said, the site is still going to this day, many years later. So finding that market of people who have an interest in something is not hard. It's not easy. It's simple, if that makes sense. But you've got to find out why, what's the overriding reason they would join your site. And then what's the overriding reason they'll stay a member? And there's many different variations of a membership size or a continuity program. Like I said, pocket pigs, were they delivering versions of these or talking about them? Or
they were talking about them.
Yeah.
And it truly amazed me because we're all in search of a, what we'd term a lucrative niche. But, you know, there are so many things there that could be a viable market for an information service we simply don't know about. I mean, my tip, Neil, would be for anyone who is thinking about this for the first time is to go to a branch of Smith's and have a look at all of those monthly magazines that might be vintage cars, they might be holidays, they might be knitting. There are literally thousands of them there. If you need a bit of an idea about finding these, go and have a look at those magazines from end to end of the rack at WH Smith, and you'll walk out inspired and think, now, how could I chop one of those niches up, for example, steam trains, into something a bit smaller? You know, yeah. You might find a sub-niche that might be viable and lucrative for you.
Yeah, over the years, we've launched, obviously, a number of membership sites, some which were in as part of our business strategy. Other ones were to be done for a bit of fun and to show our customers and clients what can be done. So, for example, many years ago at one of our events on stage, I was talking about membership sites and a particular style of membership site called fixed term. And a fixed term membership site is a membership site that has a definitive start and end point. And so I said to the people, I said, right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to create a new fixed term membership site and I'm going to write about it and let you guys know how we developed it. So what I want you to do is I want you to shout out potential topics. That was the first mistake, letting your audience choose what we're going to do. So one of the things that came out was keeping chickens, a membership site on keeping chickens. Now, I said that's a good idea, but I'm not going to do that because at the time we had two clients who were in that market. So I said, keep shouting out. And somebody shouted out, keeping pet ducks. And the audience got on that and said, yes. I said, oh, okay. All right, so keeping pet ducks. So I did my research, and you wouldn't believe it, Gavin. On Facebook alone back then, there was over 9 million people who have an interest in ducks and pet ducks. I know, crackers. I did my research, and everything indicated there was an interest in people wanting to know how to keep pet ducks. Now, to me, you know, these things have got wings and fly away, but hey, you know, people want to keep pet ducks. So I did the research. Now, I'm not an expert in pet ducks. So what I did, I went and found somebody else who had information on keeping and breeding ducks. And I asked him, could I license his information, which means pay him a fee to be able to use his information as I wish. So we agreed a fee. I bought that information. I then chopped that information up, as you just said, into segments or lessons or updates, whatever you want to call it, modules. And we created a 9-month fixed-term membership site where information was released every 2 weeks. So people joined, they paid one monthly fee, then every 2 weeks a module was released on keeping pet ducks. I didn't write it, I didn't create the content, but I did the research, found out the interest, found out what people were asking about, then went and found a product that I could license and brought that back. Now, it wasn't going to set the world on fire. It was $9.95 a month. I think the most members we had was a couple of hundred, touching 300 when we were doing it. So it was a nice income, but it just goes to show what is possible. And as you rightly said, a collection of people who have an interest in the topic, would they be willing to pay for it?
It is truly amazing that even though the business of internet marketing has been going for, I don't know, probably 20 years now from start to finish, that there are still niches to be found, there are still seams of gold to be found that somebody can come along with fresh eyes and discover. And as this podcast is aimed at newbies, maybe, Neil, with your vast experience, you can tell us a couple of mistakes that people tend to make when they set up membership sites.
Yeah, so some of the mistakes that you see online is thinking that you have to be an expert. Okay, so that's one of the mistakes people make with membership sites, or one of the reasons they don't get into it, they think they have to be an expert. That's certainly not the case. Now, don't ever say you're an expert if you're not. Don't ever claim to be an authority if you're not, but you can put your marker in the sand, your position in the market, as we did with the soccer site to begin with, which is, hey, we're just like you. We're going to report back what works and what doesn't. Come along for the ride. Now, nearly 17 years later, that site is seen as an expert site and an authority site in the market. But it didn't start off like that. And again, the mistake about thinking you have to be an expert alongside that mistake is comparing your now with somebody else's right now. And what I mean by that is, if you're comparing yourself to somebody in the market doing something that you want to do, you need to go back to when they were at your starting point. So don't look at them now. Don't look at right now. Look at where they've come from. And they're not you and you aren't them. You have your perspective. You have your view. You have your knowledge. You have your experience. And you're not after everybody in the market. That's what people need to remember. You're after the people who will resonate with your approach, your style, your information, how you put things across. Now, when we started in the soccer coaching market, there was no other amateur soccer membership site online. There was professional ones. There was FIFA, the FA, German League. But the problem at the time was all these other sites and products, all the images, and back then the videos before DVDs, VHS as DVDs were coming in, they were all of professional training grounds where the grass was perfectly manicured, the kids were all stood to attention in perfect kits, listening to the coach and doing it. Where in reality at a weekend is, you don't know how many kids are going to turn up, you have to get down there early to clear the pitch of all the glass, the stones, and the dog muck, and then you have to then see which kids are going to turn up and train them. That's reality of grassroots soccer. So that's where we came from, and that's where our appeal came from. Now, since then, there are now hundreds, if not thousands, of different soccer training sites online. Do we still sell and bring members in? Absolutely. Because although there's information out there and there's a metric ton of free information, what they're not getting is our approach, our style, our experience, what we bring to the table. So don't ever think you need to be an expert to start a membership site. You just need to be able to put information over help your members get the result that you're promising them. So if you're new to a market, say you're new and share your experience and your examples and help your members learn from that. Then as you grow with experience, you bring more to the table. Another mistake a lot of newbies make is thinking that they have to have a lot of content to start a membership site. And there's two sides to this sword. One is, if you think you need a lot of content before you can open your membership site, whichever style of membership site you're using, you're either going to A, overwhelm yourself thinking of how much needs to be done. But perversely, if you have a membership site which is chock full of content, you can actually overwhelm your members. And if you overwhelm your members, human nature says, there's too much to do here. I'll never get through it. I'm going to cancel. Because they feel that there's just too much to wade through. So content is one of these double-edged swords. Too much, and you overwhelm you and your members. Too little, that doesn't get the result your members are looking for, can also have an effect of, well, there's not much in here. But you can position things in your site. You could start a membership site with no content, as long as you explain that, great, I'm opening the doors, we're launching. And what you do is you record the content live with your members, training them and teaching them on your specific thing. And then that then goes into your membership site. So for the next 8 weeks, we're going to go through this, this, and this, and we're going to record it live, come to live training. The recordings are going to go into the membership site. So there's so many different ways of creating content for your membership site. And I'd say out of the mistakes, the big three are, thinking you need to be an expert, too much content. The third one is people focus too much on the tech, the technical aspect of putting a membership site together. Now, when we started, there wasn't that many options. And it's a double-edged sword again, because there wasn't too many options to choose from. Therefore, we could make a decision. And back when we were starting, there was two options which were low price, but you had to be virtually a programmer to be able to use them. They were good, but you had to be technically able to understand how to program these things. That wasn't us. And then there was a solution at the time which was $4,500. That's a lot of money. $4,500 for an idea that we had, but it was the closest thing to an all-in-one solution which had point and click. It had the same functionality as if you had on Microsoft Word, with bold, italics, etc. Everything could be uploaded through the site, so there's no need for separate uploaders, like FileZilla or anything like that, to upload your files to the internet. Everything was self-contained, but it was $4,500. Now, we chose that piece of software because we saw that there was less of a learning curve and we could get to market quicker by investing that money rather than buying the lower price solution, but meant that we needed to understand programming, then go and find a programmer. The other solution had that all-in-one that we would be in control. Now, today, there is a multitude of different ways that you can set up a membership site, a gated community, a continuity program, whether that's from simple WordPress plugins to specific membership platforms to having a programmer do it for yourself. Therein lies the problem. You see people worrying, fussing, researching over the tech before they've even done the research and understand what their market is looking for.
Would you tell us what your favorite is now?
Couple of things. Our membership site for the soccer site and two other sites were built on that original platform, and it's called MemberGate. Now, it was $4,500 back then. It isn't that today. In fact, they have a lower cost monthly fee, and it's still a brilliant piece of software. I love it. Can't say a negative word against it. I know the team behind it now, who are UK-based. They bought it from the American chap who I knew very well as well. It's a fantastic piece of software. MemberGate, if you go and have a look at it, great team behind it. We also now use a WordPress plugin called Wishlist Member for our other gated communities and membership sites, or where we want to restrict access and have different levels. So we've used MemberGate, Wishlist Member. But as part of what we do for our customers and clients, we do a lot of tech work for our customers and clients through our site, techmystressaway.com. And Pete, who heads up the team there, has used a lot of different platforms, everything from the WordPress ones like Memberner, A Member, right through to things like Teachable, Kajabi, Thinkific, Access Alley. So they all do a good job. That's what I've got to say these days. They all do a damn good job. So if you are wondering what tech to look for, first of all, take a step back and say, what do you want your site to do? You know, what do you want it to do, first of all? And remember, don't compare your site starting off with somebody who's been going for 10 years. Think what you want to do now. What's your minimal viable membership site that you want to put together that will get the result that your members are looking for? Then go and have a look at the solutions available and see which one ticks the most boxes of what you want it to do. Then, this is what I would do. I would actually email them support before you even bought anything, some questions, and see which ones come back. Because if they don't come back, you know, that's a red flag. Now, most of them also now have, you know, trials. Get it tried out. You know, play around with it for 2 weeks or 21 days, whichever the trial is. See what's easy, and then keep asking questions about it.
I was going to say that feedback does give you a great indication as to how they will behave if you do have a genuine problem.
Yeah, and this can be all done within 30 days. You know, all done within 30 days, tested, tried. What you don't want to be doing is going around in circles for several months, deciding on, you know, the platform that you need. Now, let me tell you, no platform's going to be perfect. It just isn't. Even I know people who've spent tens of thousands having their own solution developed and never happy. But what you need is the platform that will get you started, get you up and running, and allow you to start taking payments now. You can change in the future, bit of a pain, but not impossible. But if you don't start, you're never going to bring money in, you know, your revenue in. You're never going to have a business, and you're never going to be able to help your members that, with the information that you have. So biggest mistakes, definitely focusing too much on the tech and worrying about the tech. Too much content, you know, overwhelm for both parties, and then thinking you need to be an expert to get going.
Neil, this is a big question, but if you were setting about launching a new membership site now, how would you do that? How would you get it onto the market? How would you get it to the attention of the hungry customers? How would you do that?
You know, it's really interesting how people launch, you know, membership sites, etc. today, because if somebody came to me and said, I've got this idea, it's for a membership site, and let's say it's a low-cost membership site, you know, $10 a month, $20 a month, and that's their first product into a market, I'd actually counsel them to take a step back. And this sounds counterintuitive to the way that we did it when you remember our first membership site was a tenner a month, you know, $10 a month. And the reason for that is the online marketing landscape is very different now than it was back in 2003. If you're buying traffic, traffic costs were minimal way back then. You know, we were using Overture or GoTo as a pay-per-click search engine before Google AdWords to, you know, to pay for clicks, which were less than a penny a click. So bringing people to the site was no problem. So if you've got a membership site that you want to launch and it's low cost, you're going to struggle at first, not impossible, you're going to struggle at first to get traction with it unless you're prepared to play the longer game. So if somebody's launching a membership site today, then a couple of things. I would see whether if there's a product you could sell into that market to begin with. So if you've got a product that you can sell into the market $100 and above, you can start selling that product into the market. You could use paid traffic and it would be self-liquidating because the product would pay for the traffic. You're building up your list as well. And then once you've got your, you know, your list built up, you can then say, okay, I'm going to launch my membership site into that market. Another way to do it with paid traffic, and this takes a little bit of understanding of upsells and downsells, but we recently worked with a client and took them from zero to 10,000 a month, monthly recurring revenue in just less than 90 days. And the way we did that, and this is exactly how we did it. There's nothing missed out here, Gavin. There's no like what's he left out. He mustn't be telling us everything. This is how we did it. We sent paid traffic to an opt-in, a really good opt-in for that market. Once they opted in, the first offer that we gave them was a trial for the membership site. Now, it was a $1.95 trial. Not $1, $1.95 trial. So they took a trial for the membership site. If they took that trial, the next one was a video explaining a little bit about the membership site. It gave a little bit of teaching and then also made an offer for an annual subscription to that site. So it was a $49 a month site, so call it $50. It was a $1.95 trial. So if they took an annual one, annually 12 times 50 is $600, just under $600 a month. We did a damn good deal of $349 for the year. So not quite half price, but a damn good deal if they took that. Here's where the magic happened. What then happened is people who took the annual, so a couple of percent taking the annual, paid for the traffic. We could now reinvest more back into traffic. And then people who took the reoccurring, over 98% of people who took the trial went through to first billing, which is damn good. You know, only a couple of percent cards bounced and people cancelled before the end of the trial. And what we did, it was an aggressive marketing campaign, reinvested the money back into marketing, and within 90 days, they were at just over 10K monthly recurring revenue.
There are two battlefronts in setting up a membership site. First of all, you've got to get them on board. And then the biggest battle is keeping them on board and fighting what we term attrition, the people who disconnect and stop subscribing. Have you got any secrets for that at all? And again, it's a big question, but what keeps people on board on a membership site?
Great. Well, I work to a framework, and again, I'll tell people the framework. So successful framework for a membership site and continuity program for me is you have an attraction system, an engagement system, conversion system, and retention system. So the attraction is what we just spoke about. How do you bring people into your world? Your engagement is then how do you start engaging with them? What's the communication with them we have with them? How do you start making that connection with them? Then you're moving across to the conversion event, and a conversion event is simply how you turn people into paying members. So is that done through a sales letter, a video sales letter, a webinar, whichever process you use? And retention is how do you keep people in your membership site? And retention obviously covers things, your deliverables, retention campaigns that you send out to keep people engaged and using it and looking forward and being excited to your membership site. It also looks at the systems you use and the retention, and also what I call reactivation. People who have either cancelled, so what reactivation campaigns do you use to bring those cancelled people back? And also when payments bounce, so monthly payments will bounce on credit cards, what campaigns have you got in place to reactivate and bring those people back? Because people who've emailed in or asked to cancel are different from people whose cards just bounced. Mm-hmm. They both may have lapsed, but there's a different psyche for each one of them. So if you're running a membership site, you can split it into those four areas, this framework. You know, what attraction campaigns have you got? What engagement campaigns have you got for your prospects? What conversion campaigns are you using to bring people in and get them to be paying customers? And what retention campaigns have you got in? So bringing people in, you know, get members, keep members, keep it those two ways. But once somebody's in, keep this in mind. People will join your membership site, your continuity program, for the content, for the stuff that they get. They will stay a member because of the community feel that they have. Now, a community could be a forum on your site, can be a Facebook group. A community could also be how they feel. So you can foster a community through email and video talking about your members, where your members don't even interact with each other, but because of how you communicate and talk about the membership and different members, they feel they're part of that community. Now, they'll always get further and get results through, I call it, the coaching that you give. Now, I don't mean like personal coaching, but how you get results in your membership site for what they join for. So that can be training programs you have within your membership site. It could be coaching as we know it, as in you may offer a different level of coaching. It could be how you get the result for people. But I'll tell you what, Gavin, they will become raving fans of yours. They'll become true believers, for want of a better word, and loyal advocates for the connection they feel with you and or the site. So they will join for content, they'll stick around for community, they'll get results with coaching, but they'll become loyal advocates, raving fans for the connection they have with you. And that connection is done through your interaction with your members, whether that's within the site itself on a forum, whether it's done in a Facebook group or another group, whether it's done through the communication and engagement you have with people. And one of the great things to keep people in a membership site is actually a physical touch point. If you can have a physical touch point, maybe once a year, twice a year, you have a members event. When you get people to an event, they will stay longer as members. Let that sink in. And a lot of people think that's a lot of work. Well, tell you what, you can increase member retention significantly by having a member event in there. So it's not saying it's not right for everybody, but just think about it. Next thing down, maybe have member-only webinars. So it's member-only webinars. That's a touch point with you, with your team. They will stay longer because of the connection they feel that they have with you.
Another thing which I might suggest too is once you have a core of members, Neil, you can use them as the resource for generating content by perhaps putting up a survey with SurveyMonkey, you know, what is your biggest problem or what would you like to know about? And getting that feedback from them, again, builds a really strong bridge.
Certainly does. You know, having a membership site starts to position you as an authority in the market, first of all, and very quickly an expert. It builds up a loyal band of followers who will then help you, exactly what you've just said, with, you know, what they're interested in next, what they're struggling with, what they need help with. And that can be done through direct surveys and questionnaires, you just said, or listening and reading what they're saying in the group. Members will always consume more of your products. So when you have a membership site and you're positioned as the leader of that membership site, when you release a product, your members will always buy more than non-members.
Neil, we've got to wind up now, but we've had, I think from you, a great disclosure of many secrets today. And for the benefit of our listener, if you want to find Neil, where can we find you, Neil, online?
Yeah, if they go to thetrainingvault.com, that's the general site. You can have a click around there. There's information on there about marketing online as well as membership sites. And there's a lead generation blueprint download PDF and video training, which shows how to put together what I call a strategic omnipresence campaign online. Sounds very grand, but what we're saying here is, you need a campaign that talks to people at this point that they're at in their journey. So in a marketplace, there's always people who are ready to buy right now. And then there's people who are aware of you, but are not too sure whether you're the right person to buy from or your solution is the right thing. And then there's a big chunk of the market which is completely unaware of you, completely unaware of your solutions, and in some cases, completely unaware of what help they need. So the strategic omnipresence campaign for membership sites and digital products helps you understand where people are on that journey and to create a marketing campaign that speaks to those people. So you move your unaware to aware, your aware into ready right now to join your membership sites or buy your products.
I'm going to repeat those details. Neil Stafford at thetrainingvault.com. And that's vault, V-A-U-L-T, as opposed to the electric vault, V-O-L-T. Thank you so much, Neil, for spending time with us today and for being so straightforward and honest with disclosing all of your secrets.
My pleasure, Gavin. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, Neil. Thank you. On the next edition of the Internet Marketing Podcast, we'll be talking to international marketer Matt Basak. And from his home in the USA, since the year 2000, he's generated over $100 million using email marketing. Join me for the next edition of the Internet Marketing Podcast with Matt Basak.